popular science radio. Headlines, extreme science, gadgets, green tech, military tech, odd inventions, medicine. Popular Science Radio with your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hello, everybody. So I have a fun show for you all planned out, and we're going to start with a brand new XPRIZE that has been announced recently. What is an XPRIZE? Well, I can tell you right now that I think it'll surprise you. And right now we have with us, by the way, the prize lead for the IBM Watson IA XPRIZE, which is artificial intelligence. His name is Amir Banafatemi. And Amir, I've been to the XPRIZE events for Visioneering with, I took two of my teenager kids too, because you have these XPRIZE potentially coming that are something that they wanted to tap the brilliant minds of young people for. And it boils down to this, that the XPRIZE itself, for more than, I don't know how many years now, 25, it looks like you've got 25 years experience in the development and growth of emerging and transformative technologies. But XPRIZE has been around a long time. And really, it's hard to explain for me, other than an XPRIZE is an incentive prize competition. And XPRIZE has really, in the modern day, been the, I'm going to say, the global leader in doing something like this, incentive prize competitions, to help people to say, all right, you inventors out there, if we put up, for example, $5 million for an IBM artificial intelligence XPRIZE, and we gave you, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it might be, 3 years, to come up with some great idea to help humanity in some way, shape, or form using artificial intelligence, would you folks out there in the world that may be dabbling in artificial intelligence, would you be willing to compete in the XPRIZE? Because you could win $5 million in this case. But, I mean, maybe you could give a little story about how XPRIZE got started, Amir.
With pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes.
XPRIZE started actually 12 years ago, in 2004, with the first project, the Ansari XPRIZE, where the goal was to send an unmanned manned flight to atmosphere and come back. And that really was the initial start of the XPRIZE. And since then, XPRIZE have been creating many, many prizes, ranging from going to the moon or having exploring the underworld oceans,
right,
or capturing carbon from and creating tools through AI and solving grand challenges. XPRIZE really is in the business of, I would say, crowdsourcing innovation and seeking innovators from all over the world, not just Silicon Valley, to come up with amazing ideas and try to solve the world grand problems. So in a nutshell, XPRIZE is basically to incentivize prizes to solve big problems. And you mentioned yourself one of those prizes, and AI is the most recent prize that we're working on.
Right. And it looks here, I'm just doing a little research while you're talking, it looks like active competitions include, by the way, folks, a $30 million Google Lunar XPRIZE, $20 million NRG COSIA Carbon XPRIZE, the $15 million Global Learning XPRIZE, the $10 million Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE, and the $7 million Shell Ocean Discovery XPRIZE. Here's another one, $7 million Adult Literacy XPRIZE. Obviously, I've got problems right there. $7 million Barbara Bush Foundation Adult Literacy XPRIZE. And this one being the $5 million IBM Watson IA, Artificial Intelligence XPRIZE. And you guys can find more information, by the way, if you're interested in any of these, at xprize.org on the web, .org. And so tell us real quick, and I have to take a break here in a moment, but and we'll talk more about it. Maybe you could talk about what this XPRIZE is, because it looks like this is the first open challenge where teams will define their own goals and create AI applications that solve some of humanity's most pressing challenges. So they can say, well, we're going to use artificial intelligence to do, and then you guys say, yes, because that's really, it's up to the person who has the technology to determine and define what challenge they want to accomplish. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, Alan, thank you. You're right. The IBM Watson X Prize is organized as a first open challenge in the way that instead of setting for everyone, every team, a single universal target, we're inviting teams of technologists and experts to come together and create their own challenge and then demonstrate through their achievement how they have managed to solve one of the world important problems or get close to it. Examples can vary from detecting blindness early or providing better assistance, personal assistance like the kinds of Siri but more advanced, or having attorneys at your disposal for machines.
Amazing.
There are myriads of possibilities that we want teams to come up with.
All right, well, hold tight. I want to talk about it on the other side, about exactly what are some of the challenges that, you know, you never know who's listening to this program who might be interested in getting involved with the Watson, the IBM Watson AI XPRIZE. You can find out more again at xprize.org. You're listening to PopSci Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more of Amir and this whole conversation. Stay with us. She was with another man. I won't lose no sleep on that because I've got a plan. You're beautiful. Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2 volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at craftsman.com, sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Well, you're listening to Popular Science Radio, and I had to wait until he got that out of the way. We're talking about the IBM Watson IA XPRIZE, Artificial Intelligence, and they have $5 million they're putting up and hoping that you people out there, somebody out in this crowd or out in the world of inventors and brilliant people, may be able to help the world in some way with artificial intelligence. Amir Bonafatimi is here, and he is going to talk to us a little bit more about this competition and what is so important about it. Amir?
Thank you, Alan. The competition, the IBM Watson AI XPRIZE, is a $5 million global competition, really to challenge teams to develop and demonstrate how, in fact, humans can collaborate with powerful artificial intelligence.
Right.
And hopefully tackle the world's grand challenges. And the reason why it is so important is that in the past 20 years, really, the progress of AI research and application have been so progressive and been really the focus of attention, not only from the pure AI community, but many other fields that do see the value of maximizing its value to solve really industry or humanitarian problems. So the objective for XPRIZE is through a structured four-year competition to allow any team from any part of the world to come up with a challenge which they think they can, with the help of AI, tackle and show their best and participate in a multiple round of competition through this four-year competition.
So
the objective is also to move the field forward, and this is why this competition is also unique, because we want to provide best practices not only for researchers and entrepreneurs and developers, but really helping the public understand the most promising ways AI can be applied to benefit society.
And then what kind of teams do you expect to compete in this?
The teams that we expect to compete are obviously composed of technologists, developers, and scientists, but also we expect multidisciplinary teams formed by the previous list I gave, which are developers and scientists and technologists, but also domain experts in each field, such as city planning, medicine, law, exploration, space, robotics, to join forces with those specialists and developers to tackle the problems together.
Well, I can say that artificial intelligence is something that is coming on strong in so many different arenas. There's so many folks that are coming out with some amazing I mean, just technology behind artificial intelligence. Like you said, it can be something as simple as Siri. I just showed a friend of mine the other day how to use Hey Siri, and he had no idea that his phone had the ability, and a lot of people that are listening right now are going to learn something about their iPhone, which is when it's plugged in for the older phones, and when it's, you know, the newer phones will be able to do it anyway. You can just say, Hey Siri, the phone is listening, and you can ask it just about anything you want, whether it be call my wife, set an alarm, remind me to do this, make an appointment for me. So, I mean, we already have a lot of what we'll call, you know, artificial intelligence light in the form of Siri. That's the first, I think, and maybe you can comment on it, that Siri may be the first interaction that us, you know, workaday people have with something that we're calling artificial intelligence. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree, Alan. Siri and Cortana and Google now are examples on iPhones and Androids where anyone can experiment a little bit of artificial intelligence. But also in self-driving cars, a number of manufacturers today are implementing assisting pilot, autopilot in their cars.
Yep.
And a number of trades on Wall Street are done by artificial intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
A number of assistants in terms of legal and medicine today are popping out where you can already be getting advice and opinion, like if you're talking to a generalist doctor or a junior attorney.
Right. Well, Amir, thank you very much for talking to us. It is called the IBM Watson AI XPRIZE. You can find out more at xprize.org. Thank you, Amir, and best of luck. It's a global thing, and you have 4 years to come up with something great in the world of AI. We'll take a break. You're listening to Popular Science. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to Popular Science Radio, our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most, Bridgestone tires. And right now we're talking with Mei-Lin Wan from Applied DNA Services. And the product they have right now is, it's a product called Signature DNA, the ultimate reality check. And it's plant-based, and it can give textiles or other things a DNA signature. And it has kind of a, well, not kind of, but it has a forensic identity after that. They apply this in the textiles world. DNA made from plants. How cool is that? Again, ADNAS.com on the web. ADNAS.com. Now, how do you know if you're buying a product that is premium quality cotton or, you know, maybe wool? Because different types of sheep have different DNAs, right? Well, imagine if you could actually, when you're making a product, let's just say, you know, a Gucci purse or something. And while the process is being all, while the weaving machines are weaving and the dyeing machines are dyeing, you could add this plant-sourced DNA to where you could actually tell, like a DNA of a human being, everything about that product. Well, this would help, I think, down the line when it comes to if that product is stolen or, again, if you want to find out if you got the real deal. So to talk to us a little more, from Applied DNA Sciences is Mei-Lin Wan. And by the way, this is a publicly held company. You can check it out. The ticker symbol is APDN ADNAS.com, Applied DNA Sciences, ADNAS.com on the web. Mei-Lin, let's talk about this. Did I describe that right? Or help me out here, because there's a lot to wrap our brain around on this one.
Yeah, definitely. What we do is truly unique, and we really use biotechnology as sort of our foundation to everything that we do, and we can help protect brands with textiles, following the textile from right from the fiber right through to the consumer. We also do a lot of work with law enforcement to help them link crimes to criminals, and we also work with the U.S. government to also mark parts that are high performance or high resolution type of products that require higher level of security. And DNA provides sort of forensic authentication that no other tag in the world can offer.
So let's talk about this. It gives a product like a forensic identity. And this is not something that they've had in the past, correct?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you and I, we all have DNA, but what makes each of us unique is our own DNA. So our company uses the DNA that comes from plants, and we can create a very unique identity and then apply this tracer onto products and actually authenticate them at any point within the supply chain. And the forensic identity is really important for traceability, but it also is very important for consumers, for example, so that they understand that what they are receiving in a bed sheet or in a beautiful cashmere sweater is in fact verified, undiluted, and really truly 100% authentic. And that's the key difference of what we offer.
I said something about this genotyping, and I said coffee. I haven't had enough coffee. So this product, can it be used in, like, anything? I mean, can you use it on food? I guess because it's plant-based, you can probably eat it at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the amount of DNA that we use as a tracer is really at parts per billion. So, in fact, you know, from broccoli that you buy from the supermarket, you would actually be eating more plant DNA from broccoli than anything that we would apply onto food or textile or any other type of product. So it's really safe, and it's used at such small quantities. The true test of it is the robustness of the application and our ability to authenticate right to the finished good.
So if I buy my wife a Gucci purse, and somebody steals it, and they find it later on, they say they find it. How do I, and I can use this, like, for the forensics. How do I do that? Do I snip off a little piece? Do I have to send you the purse? Make sure that I got our purse back? Because, you know, that could be thousands of dollars for these things.
Yeah, I mean, we generally work not directly with the consumer. We tend to work with the brand,
right,
or the manufacturer. So it would be a mechanism, for example, for the consumer, if they really wanted to check, to ask the brand or the retailer, you know, is this product real? How can I check it? So we generally do all our DNA testing here in our labs in Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm.
And usually for textiles, we only require a small amount of yarn or some part from the fabric to do our test here.
And it tells you everything about where it was made. I mean, you really have, it's almost like a genetic barcode kind of, right?
Yeah, that's a very great way to sort of explain it. And the genetic barcode that's inherent, for example, in a Pima cotton product, we could actually do a genotyping test and tell you, yes, that is 100% Pima. Or if it's signature T marked with DNA, which is a mark that we apply onto the product, if in fact that product is marked, we can then check for that as well.
Unreal.
So there's two ways to really go about checking the authenticity of a product.
Unreal. Unreal. Applied DNA Sciences, ADNAS.com, or the ticker symbol APDN. If you have more interest in getting involved with this, this is the future, everybody. Your products now have a fingerprint and a DNA. And what a game changer. Love these inventions. This is the 10 Greatest Inventions of the Year episode. And, of course, that is what's on the newsstand. So we follow the magazine very closely. Mei-Lin Wan from Applied DNA Sciences, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a little break and be back with more cool technology and inventions right here on Popular Science Radio. Can I just have one
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Well, you're listening to Popular Science Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. On the cover of Popular Science right now, the future of the car, it says. Faster, smarter. And then in yellow, it says printable. That's right, printable. Well, there is a company out there that last year went to the SEMA show, which I just came home from. That's the Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show, with a giant 3D printer. It's called Local Motors. And they walked in with a bag of pellets and drove out with a 3D printed car 4 days later. And they assembled it right there on the show floor. The founder and CEO is a man named Jay Rogers. He's on the line with us right now. What do you think, man? We're talking about it right on the cover of Popular Science magazine. The future. It's now. How you doing, Jay?
I mean, that's the truth, Alan.
Yes, it is.
It is the truth. The future is now.
No question about it. I mean, we all grew up with, you know, I mean, this was all science fiction. Well, now it's just as real as it can be. And you've done it. And you did it. I mean, you've been doing it for years, I could say, right?
I mean, we've been trying to do it for years. There's a whole lot of stuff that we've had to learn. And there are many things that, you know, we've gotten wrong and gotten right. It's really only been about a 24-month exploration, of which the printing has only been about 14 months.
Okay. Well, I can say that I have watched you, and you know, you and I have become friends along the way. I admire the journey that you are on personally as well as in business, because I know that both of them are challenging. And you were just saying your three-year-old just spilled a glass of milk on what?
Felt like a gallon of milk, but with a three-quarter cup of milk all over his toys.
His toys. Well, fair enough. I thought it was your toys. See, that's okay. So
he's a good one.
Let's talk about it. Now, I since you and I had a chance to talk at the trade show here last week, but truthfully, it was just such a blur. Let's help the audience to understand the printable 3D car world that Local Motors is doing. And you're keynote speaking at, you know, conferences all over the country, and I'm sure all over the world. Give us 2 minutes on your world.
Sure. I mean, the thread that ties it all together for us is digital manufacturing. And so really what we're after is we're after the ability to click, print, drive. We want to drive technology in vehicles as quickly as possible. And tooling and manufacturing intensity has been our enemy, because it takes about 5 to 7 years to put a car in the market. So we want to make a million of them to make that time worthwhile.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is get rid of that time and the capital expense so that we can experiment with new things every 6 months. So for us, it's about driven by digital, so that we can take a digital design and put it right into the car. And really, that wasn't possible until 3D printing came along. And now 3D printing is sort of big. It's not the only tool, but it is probably the biggest tool that's unlocked this digital manufacturing revolution for us.
Well, it seems like you guys have done a very good job of bringing this to consumers in a friendly way so that they can start to wrap their brain around it. And although I think the car that you printed at the trade show was perhaps not what people would have thought, you know, a car would look like that was printed. Since then, and even before then, you chose to print that particular one, probably because it fit in the time slot to print, right? And to be able to have it fully assembled and everything else and drive it out. But since last year's trade show called SEMA, you guys have continued to evolve the designs, which is really what this is all about, is taking, like you said, design, click, print.
That's right. And so, I mean, really what we did is we even wowed ourselves where we printed the first car, that car called the Stratty, and it was not a traditional looking car. It was a step over side, more of a Myers-Manx kind of a thing. And it
right.
was just real simple to print and do, though the challenge was enormous. It was epic to actually print the car and drive it off, assemble it, and drive it off the show floor. Then what we promised ourselves, our community, and the world is that this wasn't going to be a novelty, but we would take the digital thread and we would turn it into something that it could actually be driven on the road. So the first Stratty that we did, it had a neighborhood electric vehicle powertrain. It was a very rough cut, and we got it out. But you know, within the year, we have moved toward the first federally crash-testable vehicle. So we're taking that on its journey through federal crash testing. And we've gotten it down to a month and 17 days from digital design to driving the car on the road.
Wow.
And that's not highway certified yet, but we are on the path. So we now have a car that has over 110-mile-an-hour top speed. It's very solid. Our latest design iteration took, like I said, a month and 17 days to go from digital design to all parts on for the first vehicle. It really only takes us about 40 hours to make the car. But the whole design process, which used to take 5 to 7 years, has really been shrunk. In fairness, the 5 to 7 years includes crash testing. So we've still got crash testing to do on our vehicle, but we will get faster and faster on that. And we are hard at work making it happen right now. So
well,
it's really just compressing the design cycle immensely.
Right. So, but the crash testing, once that is done, that design that is approved would still be part of that 1 month and 17 days from, you know, once you have a design, they can perhaps make small changes to exterior design, but as long as you keep the chassis and all the things that are part of that safety component the same, you can go ahead and change, you know, little bits and pieces and refinements, I imagine, without having to re-crash test it, or you're probably learning about all that as you go. How do you like working with the federal government, huh, Jay Rogers?
You know what? Everybody jokes about the feds, but we pay them every day as taxpayers.
Right.
And I have to say, like, you know, my feeling about it is that regulation is driven by people. And so when we decide we like something and we want to keep it safe, we will regulate it. And so the car industry is regulated the way it is today because it only knows the way it knows to make vehicles, the way it's always done it.
Right.
My bet is, yes, it's true that we will be regulated the same way traditional vehicles are made right now. But within a relatively short period of time, because we're engaging the regulators strongly in this, we want to see technology adopted faster and put on the road. So we're going to push to drive the regulatory cycle where we've got the regulators involved earlier. We've got a more heads up on what we're doing, and we think everybody should be on the team. So I look at them as a partner in this effort because we all have to get faster.
Well, you're probably also meeting people that are looking at you going, you know what? This is cool. This is a game changer, and we like you. There's going to be that side of the fence and the other side that says, we don't want to ever see this. We like Detroit just the way it is. So I imagine there's a lot of politicking going on, but maybe you could take us back a year and then walk us through 2015 for you. Because the last time I saw you, I believe we were together, it was 2014 SEMA. And then we got to be together for just a few minutes here just last week. What has happened in local motors world in the last year besides that crash testing stuff and all that?
It's been a fascinating and challenging time because, you know, once you show that you can rapidly iterate things, everybody wants you to print another thing and print another thing and print another thing. And for us, what we've had to do is actually slow down the printing and really work on the process and the science and the materials a lot. So our team has grown. We had the maturity and the discipline to really stop going to shows and printing. And we have gone, you know, in a sense, more inward for this last year to really get some of the major questions solved. But we never go so inward. We're always publishing on our website. What did we do? What did we learn? How did it fail? How did it succeed? And so it's been less of a an outward sign of sort of exposure of the process and more of an inward look at how do we solve the hardest problems. That's really been the hallmark of this past year. And I'm impressed by the team. We've used a Pixar-like methodology of innovation thinking and really learned a lot. Like, we watched the movie Ratatouille and how it was made and the way in which some of the animators came in and really were able to suggest boldly to the director, hey, I think we should take the chef this way or the main character that way. And a lot of times they get shot down.
Right. Well, it was the collective soul of your group.
Right.
Coming together to make the best product.
Right,
hang with us. We have another little break here, and conversation continues. On the other side, the future of the car. We're talking with Jay Rogers from Local Motors, the 3D printed car. Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand. Made to make, and without the good tools, you're not going to make nothing. So stay with us.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to Popular Science Radio on the cover of this month's Popular Science, a beautiful car from the future. It could be a printed car because that's what it says. The future of the car, faster, smarter, and printable. The guy that's doing it from Local Motors, 3D printing his cars, is Jay Rogers. I've been following him and becoming friends with him. He's a solid dude, can I say. And back with Jay Rogers. Oh, by the way, our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and we're thankful for them. Jay, let's talk about your business a little bit. Local Motors, we've talked about that before. I think not only are you doing the kind of the 3D printed car thing, but you are doing it in a very sustainable way with, and the name says it all, Local Motors. Explain that.
You know, we really wanted to be able to bring sustainability out of the discussion of just the tailpipe, Alan. You know, everybody's thinking about miles per gallon and carbon emissions, and that's certainly like table stakes these days. But we really love local living economies. We like to see people who, you know, go to Wyotech and Toyota T10, not just go and work at service shops, but learn how to build cars themselves. And we believe in local ingenuity all over the world. And we like to see people engaged in trying to make rapid prototyping become rapid product tools. So we're big into it. And sustainability to us includes their ability to have an enjoyable life and making things that are more awesome locally. So that is a big part of our sustainable profile.
Now, I understand you have two different kinds of cars. You're going to be building highway cars, but also something called NAV, neighborhood electric vehicles. Talk about that.
You know, we've really, you know, they tell the story of the Maasai warrior that never got a copper line phone from Alexander Graham Bell. He just went straight to the cell phone. I feel a lot that's what's going on today in the automotive industry. In the developed worlds, from, you know, Autostadt to Detroit to Toyota City, we feel like we got to make highway cars everywhere. But if you look around and you see various places around the world which never grew up with that world, and you see other places which grew past it, like New York City, which just doesn't need highway cars in the middle of the city, we really need to start thinking about how do we do things that work in a hood? How do we do things that work in a very congested city? And they don't look like, you know, four-seater Caprice Classics. You know, and so there is a lot of room and innovation in vehicular to be able to do things. Problem is, tooling costs have been so big in the automotive industry, you got to make a million of something in order to be able to make it make money. So you're selling Caprices on the highway, and you're selling them in the city. And same with the Ford Taurus, same with the, you know, Nissan Leaf. So we're looking forward to coming to the bottom of the market and really getting vehicles out there that are less than $10,000 for neighborhoods, for cities, things that won't travel at highway speeds, less than 35 miles an hour, and tons of design flexibility there, lots of technology. Those will likely be the first autonomous vehicles that really get mass adoption because they just go slower. There's less to get in trouble with, and they can be more configured. But you got to hit the highway car, too. There's just no way you can build a reputation for safety or really focus your engineering team or community on things unless you go for the gold also. So we're approaching from both ends, and digital manufacturing revolution lets us do that.
It's interesting. Okay, printing and printing of the car, you can do that from anywhere. I mean, you don't have to have a giant factory, small, little, you know, a little place on the corner of a little small town in the middle of USA, anywhere could do this. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, the cool thing is we always talk about the Springfield repeating rifle so that, you know, wherever you were, if your buddy went down and, you know, you needed his gun half for your half to make it work again, you could pop the parts in and they would replace. We lost that at the rifle where we should have continued it on for the car. We can send a file to Australia or to Canada or to California all to print the same car or swap it up. So all it takes is the materials to be at the printer in order to be able to make that happen. It kind of blows your mind.
Yeah, no, it does. And although I've seen your places, I think to myself, man, as much as the 3D printed car is amazing, the manufacturing process and the Local Motors part of Local Motors is as good an idea as the 3D printed car. So there's a lot of folks that perhaps could have thought, let's call this company 3D printed car, but you didn't. You actually said, let's not only make a 3D printed car, but let's give them the distribution along with it in the name, Local Motors. So
you got it.
You know, I mean, that was some visionary stuff right there.
You know, I can't claim the credit for it. My inspiration was probably Roald Dahl and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It was just, you know, a small town with an amazingly simple building in the middle of the town where the most wonderful, everlasting gobstoppers came out of them. And if you want a golden ticket, you got to go. We want to give everybody a golden ticket to come to the Local Motors microfactory in their town, and that's how we build them. That's what we dream about them like when we build them. They are industrial tourism to the nth degree.
Well, now tell people where there are a few right now that if they see this, they'll go, oh, that's what those guys were talking about. You're in Scottsdale or Phoenix, right?
We are in South Phoenix. We're in Chandler.
Okay.
And we're right across from the what used to be known as the Firebird Raceway.
Yep.
And on the way out of town toward Tucson, right on the east side of the highway.
Yep.
And you'll see our building and drop on by. It's a magical place. And then next one up is on the Pellissippi Parkway, just in West Knoxville, near the Oak Ridge National Labs. It's right on the promontory by one of the biggest highways there. That's pretty awesome. And then we are opening up a demonstration center at National Harbor, right in the Washington, D.C. Metroplex.
Look at you go!
Maryland. And then we got a satellite office in Berlin. We got a satellite office in Vegas. We're going to see six factories up by the end of next year.
All right, hang tight. Five more minutes with Jay Rogers from Local Motors. It's on the cover this month. They're going to have a 3D printed car sooner or later. The future of the car, faster, smarter, printable. And we've got the 3D printed car, king of the 3D printed cars, on the line with us. Stay with us. Popular Science Radio. The Covercraft products you know and trust are now available directly to you at Covercraft.com. You'll find custom car covers manufactured with high-performance fabrics, Carhartt seat covers in new Realtree camo patterns, dash mat dashboard covers, Colgan custom bras, specialty protection products from K9 Covers, and a whole bunch more. Be sure to use the code DRIVE at checkout to receive free shipping in the continental U.S. Get protection for whatever you drive at Covercraft.com. Listening to Popular Science Radio, I'm Alan Taylor. Popular Science on the cover this month, you'll see the future of the car, and it says right there, faster, smarter, and printable. And the printable's in kind of highlighted, right? Like, what? Well, Jay Rogers from Local Motors is on the line with us right now. We're learning all about what is already happening out there, everybody. I had no idea he had spread his wings that wide already. They're down right now to 1 month and 17 days from digital design to driving. They're in the crash testing mode at this point with the federal government. The first car out was the Strati. They printed one at the SEMA show in Las Vegas last year and drove it out when they were done, put all the components in there. Jay Rogers, amazing. So the question is, how can people buy one of your cars? That is, and let me just, before you answer that, you know, it's funny. So many people go, oh, a car, you got to have a car to be able to do this, that, and the other. But in there's certain communities where half the people drive golf carts around in golfing communities and little tight areas. Now, I happen to be into real estate, and I always look to buy real estate around shopping centers because if you're next to a shopping center, you can walk over and get your groceries and come home. Some people don't even want to own cars. Now, I'm the exact opposite. I am a car freak. But I think that there is a place for a car like what you call these NAV, in a neighborhood electric vehicle. That's like for small town USA, for, you know, for the elderly, for folks that don't need to have a big expense, that want to have something that's kind of cool and different. This is wonderful, but you also have your highway cars. But so tell people, how are they going to be able to buy these Local Motors cars and design them?
This is what really blows me away about this revolution is it's powertrain swappable. You need 110 miles an hour, you can get it. You want an EV less than 35 miles an hour, you can get it. Sure, you have to print the cars with more, you know, safety structure and other things like that. But the bottom line is it's hot swappable. That's the way we look at technology in vehicles. And so I think when you draw that out to the experience, the world's going to be a different place in a year when we start talking about the purchase of these vehicles. We're just so used to going in, leasing, financing, or swapping, you know, with a guy in a cheap suit looking at you, telling you how much money he's going to make on your financing contract. It's a different world these days. The millennials, who are the biggest buying bulge coming up, they want to have things appreciate in value when they own them. They're used to their phones getting more personalized every day they own them.
Right.
And so for us, we want the car to become more personalized. We want it to become better. We want it to be upgradable hardware. And so what we really want is we want that car, every iteration, to be one step more valuable than the last day that you bought it. And so for us, we look at it as an upgradable hardware plan, where almost like your phone, where you've got a carrier that's subsidizing the cost of your phone so that you can add more pictures, add more music, and then every 18 months you trade it in and get another camera on another side of the phone. That's the way we feel about these vehicles. We've pushed for recyclable material. so that every 18 or 24 months you come in, we take your components off that are still usable, and then we chop up the car, we reprint you a new one, and you've got the next safer design, the next better set of sensors that are on the vehicle, and you're off for another 18 to 24 months.
Okay.
The hardware.
I think, first of all, we got to make sure that we, you know, just wrap our brains around that. Your car will be recyclable to the point that, like he says, they take the drive components out and the wiring and the steering and the wheels and tires and that kind of stuff and the safety stuff. And this happens really pretty quick. I mean, and then they just go ahead and grind the car back down and then make you a new body and upgrade everything, give you the next newer safety technologies that maybe have been invented along the way and a different design that you may have been wanting or designed yourself. I mean, that is just sheer brilliance, man. I love this stuff.
I mean, we are believers that when you buy something expensive, when you buy a home, a wedding ring, a car, you know, those sorts of things, that you just want them to get better. We think of our homes as appreciating. We should think of our cars the same way.
Yeah.
And so we want you to be involved, and we want you to vote. We want you to vote with your dollars, and we want you to feel like you have a relationship. And we've been spending too long not being cradle to cradle with our cars. So it's super important for us to look at the cars die at a non-uniform rate. If you've ever gone to a pick and pull yard, you know that there's stuff you can use for 100,000 more miles, and there's other stuff that's worn out for 30,000.
Right. Well, listen, you're telling the guy that used to. I used to own a wrecking yard, so I was the recycling king. Believe me, I get it. I get it. And so do you. This is Jay Rogers, everybody. Check him out at localmotors.com, and you can see what they're doing right now. It's a fun thing to watch, I can tell you, as the future unfolds before our eyes. As popular science says, the future now, and that's on the cover of the magazine, the future of the car, faster, smarter, and printable. So Local Motors doing a good job of it. Jay Rogers, thank you, brother. Best of luck. Now you can go take care of your 3-year-old and clean up that spilt milk, okay?
Never cry.
That's right. All right, that's about it for this week's edition of the radio show. But the issue of the magazine is on newsstands everywhere. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on Popular Science Radio.
Don't be a wantrepreneur. If you're ready to become an entrepreneur, Benetrends Financial can help. Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies help real entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically, so you can finally purchase that business of your dreams. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends Financial, funding for the life of your business.